I'm Alex Chadwick. This is Day to Day. There was good news, very good, recently about employment. The economy added 308,000 new jobs last month. But not all sectors did well. Manufacturing continued sluggish, and especially in the Midwest. Now the Bush administration has named a manufacturing czar. NPR's Janet Babin reports.
A newly appointed Assistant Commerce Secretary of Manufacturing will give businesses a bully pulpit for their concerns. That according to International Trade Undersecretary Grant Aldonis.
The first and most important thing is to provide a greater focus on manufacturing in America. You know, for years we've had a Department of Agriculture and haven't really had that sort of focus anywhere in the U.S. government.
After 43 straight months of decline, the manufacturing sector lost no additional positions last month, but there were no gains either. The Bush administration named businessman Albert Frink to the new commerce position last week. The president's first choice for the job, Anthony Raimondo, withdrew after critics questioned his company's plans to build a plant in China while laying off U.S. workers. But economist Josh Bivens with the Economic Policy Institute says the new manufacturing czar won't be able to do much to stop the hemorrhage of manufacturing jobs.
The big things that I think need to happen to help U.S. manufacturing are things that probably this position won't have a lot of influence over, and I'm speaking mostly about the value of the U.S. dollar on international markets. And that's more of a Treasury Department responsibility.
Bivens says the reason for the manufacturing losses is that the U.S. is importing more manufactured goods than it's exporting. That's one of the reasons business is down at the S&Z Tool and Die factory in Cleveland. Inside the factory, 160 union workers operate metal presses that are bending steel into auto parts. Everyone appears busy, but manager Joseph Klapsik says sales are off $23 million since 2001.
We seem to lose jobs faster than we can get them. It's due to the economy, number one, and then, of course, competitiveness. If we have our jobs leaving for China, the labor cost over there is from 23 to 27 cents an hour.
While the assistant secretary's power over imports and exports is limited and to some degree happens at the mercy of U.S. economic forces, economist Sue Helper of Case Weatherhead School of Management says the new czar will be able to improve conditions for manufacturers by telling U.S. trading partners that
countries need to obey their own laws, that they need to obey United Nations International Labor Organization standards for human rights around freedom of association, no forced labor, and things like that.
The new czar will also have limited control over U.S. business practices. Helper of Case says U.S. firms need to adopt higher performance standards, like those that helped Japanese companies to become more efficient in the 1970s. But she says many U.S. firms have yet to incorporate them.
Why don't they adopt it? Well, they have to make a lot of concurrent changes in all areas of the organization. And it's sort of very hard for a manager who's sort of trying to fight fires day to day to be thinking long term.
There are 60 nonprofit centers around the country that teach such practices to smaller manufacturing companies, but the Bush administration called for a dramatic cut in their funding this year. Undersecretary Aldona says the administration, in recommending these cuts, was just trying to save taxpayers money.
What we were trying to do actually was consolidate the program and make sure that what we had was something that was focused and still delivering the goods.
As the new czar, Albert Frink will likely have to wrestle with such trade-offs for the manufacturing sector next year if he's approved by the Senate. For Day to Day, I'm Janet Babin.